music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
I'm delighted to have on the line the great author Sheila O'Flanagan, and we're here to talk about Donald Trump. And Sheila, you're a little bit upset about the whole thing. Is that how was that the best way to describe it?
Well, disappointed.
Right. Okay. Disappointed.
Disappointed.
Okay.
Disappointed.
Yeah. All right. And can I ask why you're disappointed, if you wouldn't mind?
Well. I'm disappointed just on a, I suppose, on the level of that. You know, I would have liked to see a female president in the White House. Now, I don't think that you should vote for people just because they're male or just because they're female, but yeah. I do think Hillary would have been a very qualified president. And so I'm disappointed that the qualified woman has lost out to the man with no qualifications at all.
Yeah, because,
Because I think that's a bad reflection of society generally.
Yeah, because, like, when you think of it, like, she really is, you know, with due respect, if it was a fella who had spend 30 years or whatever, you know, being Secretary of State and being involved, you know, if their partner was the president, even just being in the White House, you'd pick up a huge amount of, you know, information and experience. And she's a qualified solicitor.
Well, she was.
Yeah, she was,
qualified at everything.
But, yeah, you know.
But I think, I did read a piece that Michael Moore, you remember Michael Moore, he wrote Angry White Men.
Yes.
A number of years ago, and it was all about that kind of phenomenon in the States. And I read a piece of him, it was five reasons why Trump is going to win. And at the end of it, he said, this guy just came up to him and he said, we have to vote for Trump, we have to shake things up. And that was it. That was his kind of...
That was the logic.
The reason that they were voting. That was the logic behind it. And, you know, shaking things up is all very well. But, I mean, what Trump has brought to it all is just... It's not shaking things up. It's actually just brought an ignorance and a vulgarity and a whole way of treating people, which is so offensive.
Yeah,
I suppose I just don't think he should be in the White House.
Yeah, I suppose the thing is, whatever about being elected, and he has been, but when you see some of his nominations as well for the different cabinet posts, like, you're kind of going, like, these guys are right-wing people, you know, like Stephen Bannon and all this kind of stuff, you know, and this, you know, like, and draining the swamp, as he kept saying, well...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's what are you putting into the swamp now? I mean, it's like pond life, you know, but what I hate is the fact that, you know, people are saying, well, now he's the president and you just have to rally behind him and you have to do all this stuff. And I really think that you're saying rally behind a person who has, gosh, you know, he is just so ignorant and so rude and so dismissive and has spoken about women in such a terrible way. And then, as a woman, you're supposed to say, well, you know, he didn't really mean it. And that's another thing that I think that happens to women particularly, but I'm sure obviously to minorities as well, is that, oh, look, it's all a joke and it isn't, you know, we didn't mean any harm by it, and you're the one. You're the one that has to get over it. Not I have to alter my behaviour, but you're the one that has to get over it.
Yeah.
And I just think that's moving us way, way backwards.
Yeah, because, you know, like here on Near Farm, we cover a huge amount of LGBT stuff and all that kind of stuff and minorities. And, you know, when you hear the rhetoric that was being thrown out, particularly during the election campaign, you know, and about his conduct towards women as well, which is a shocking, you know, thing to think of. And now all of a sudden he's kind of going, ah, sure, there's no problem, you know, but there is a problem, you know, like, it just,
well, I think there is a problem, because I mean you can see that it has, you know, it has enabled a lot of people to come out and start saying things like, you know, painting swastikas on walls and telling people to go home, you know, it's the kind of really horrible racism that you don't want to see. And like, people do have genuine concerns about the way their lives have gone. I mean, there's a kind of a thing about politicians, you know, we've lost trust in politicians, understandably, and you do need to shake things up. But I think there's shaking things up and there's actually going into, as you called it, another swamp.
Yeah, well, yeah, that seems to be the case now. But, you know, I suppose there's at this moment in time, as Micheál Martin always says, going forward... You know, like, how do you think that things are going to pan out? Do you think he's going to move to the centre?
I don't think he has an actual position on anything. Do you know, so I think he's going to move to wherever the last person he spoke to is. which is worrying depending on who he's speaking to.
Yeah.
Somebody also said one of the problems in the election was that the media took him literally but not seriously, but his supporters took him seriously but not literally.
Right.
So some of the people are not going to get upset about the fact that the wall may be a fence and that Mexico won't pay for it. But, you know, I mean, that was his major policy.
Yeah, yeah.
That there was going to be a wall. He's going to abandon a lot of those things, I reckon. I do think, in a certain way, he'll be more centrist. But, I mean, he was voted in to change things. And he's going to have to do some things that I think will be very unpalatable.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. At the end of the day, you know, if you have a certain constituency and they have voted for you and they expect, you know, 9 out of 10 items to be, you know, kind of fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what.
Well, even
happen.
If they only expect half of the items to be fulfilled, but I mean, I can't see, to be honest, how he is going to do the actual things that are more important to the people that voted for him. You know, in that kind of rough belt area.
Yes.
You know, because he's saying, "I'm bringing jobs back to the States." Well, I don't know how he's actually going to do that. You know, is he going to put up massive tariffs against China? China, who owns most of the debt in the States anyway. You know, none of that actually has a logical conclusion that works out in a good way for the States. That's the problem.
Yeah, I suppose if you're in some of these cities like Detroit, which I believe have been absolutely wiped out by, you know, kind of the car industries, and I can understand, you know, where some of those people are coming from. But at the same, you're right. How are they going to get those jobs back? A lot of those skills and the manufacturing has changed anyway into technology. So even though the manufacturing may have moved to China or Mexico or whatever, they're not employing half the people that they did in Detroit and, as you're saying, on the Rust Belt.
Well, they're not, and I think and that's happened everywhere.
Yes.
I suppose it's a problem for the world generally. But the thing is, the world has changed, and I think what the vote in the States, and to an extent, like, I mean, he said it was Brexit times 10, and it sort of is, because the vote for Brexit as well was a vote to try and bring back, you know, it's like make America great again, but bring back a type of country that existed 50 years ago. You know, things have changed. I bet you if 50 years ago there was some kind of vote, they would have loved to bring back the country that was there 50 years previously. People are not good with change if it impacts on themselves and it impacts in a negative way, and some change will impact you in a negative way. And so I think there's this harking back to a time when there were definite certainties. The world has become a more uncertain place, and I think they were looking for certainties and a type of living that no longer exists. But the other part of it, I guess, you know, in terms of, you were mentioning the LGBT and that aspect of it, a lot of people, another piece that I read, very interesting, because I was obviously consuming loads
yes,
of information.
Yeah. I saw that on Twitter, all right, Julie, yes.
but it was another fantastic piece by a guy who was from one of those states, and he said, you know, the thing about it is, I grew up in a state that was 97% white, and that there were more convictions for in his school for sexual predatory than there was black teachers.
Oh, right,
you know, so,
okay.
So he was kind of saying, you know, we don't see these people. We don't see many black people. We don't see Muslims. And we don't see an awful lot of overtly gay people either. So voting against them means nothing to us because they don't actually exist in their experience.
Yeah.
And it's a bit, like, you know, you go back to the gay marriage vote here in Ireland, suddenly people realised that they did know people whose lives were being affected by this, and they did want to help them, and they did sympathise with them. And so when it's an abstract thing, you can vote in an abstract way. But when you actually know people, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, because I know my own son Kevin is over in Atlanta at the moment studying, and he was saying that, you know, he's sharing an apartment with a couple of black fellas, and he said they're lovely, but he said they're terrified that they just don't know how, particularly, you know, in the southern part of the country where, you know, there'd be a lot of racial tension, they just don't know, you know, that, you know, people are going up and, you know, kind of saying stuff to them and saying, well, sure, this is what Mr. Trump has said is the way it is, you know, which is terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's it, and it's suddenly become also a kind of thing where you can't dissent from what Trump is saying. You know,
yes.
It's unpatriotic
yeah.
to disagree
yeah.
With some of the things he said. But there has been a little bit of commentary, I think, today, which is interesting in his approach about things that he doesn't like and he wants to sweep under the carpet, in terms of the settlement that he made.
Oh yeah, the 25 million, yeah.
Against the 25 million. And the fact that he's been tweeting badly just about Governor Pence being booed at the musical that he was at.
Yeah.
And that has taken over the airways as opposed to the 25 million
payoff for all those, yeah, for the
and
Trump
he's
university.
Actually using, so he is a good entertainer, you know what I mean? And
yes.
He uses social media well and he whips up, you know, a certain fervour, which is all very well, again, for the reality show, but for real life,
yeah,
is worrying.
Well, that's why I reckon he used Twitter so much during the election, because he only had 140 characters. And, you know, it was very simple. You know, your vocabulary doesn't really have to be that big. You know, if you put down kind of build a wall, make America great, other bits and pieces like that, you would use 140 characters very quickly, you know, and I think that's, and put a picture on it, and that's 22 or 23 characters.
Well,
so, you know.
It is, but I think the other part of that is that you can say all those slogans, but they're not actually policies.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that he has thought out policies, other than, you know, we want to turn the country into the place it was 50 odd years ago.
Yeah.
And that is not really a policy. But I mean, I think that will lead and has been leading, as you've said yourself, to people feeling very unwelcome in their own country.
Yes, which is shocking, you know, let alone the 50,000 Irish, you know, undocumented that are out there as well. You know, I'd say they're kind of feeling a little bit anxious as well. You know, I'd say that's another...
And yes, again, like the whole kind of, I suppose, the substructure of the American economy is being supported by all of the, you know, the migrant workers that have come into the country.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I laugh that they kind of get so hysterical about ISIS and places like that when more of them kill each other with guns than have ever been killed.
Yes.
By a terrorist organisation. But, you know, I mean, they have managed to focus in on and again, through Twitter and through soundbites. It makes me concerned about the fact that now we're considering it in 140 characters.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually having to think about anything.
Yeah, actually.
And the whole election was really, I suppose it was fought on emotion rather than anything else. You know, make America great. We want to change things. Lock her up.
Yeah. In 140 characters, yeah.
Yeah. I might have gone over that, actually.
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I won't count them, Sheila. You're all right. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. But yeah, but I thought it was very interesting where, you know, the new, one of the vice president-elect, you know, at that Hamilton musical, you know, that the actors took the opportunity to, I suppose, to get their message across, because they probably wouldn't get a chance another time, you know. And yet there was this kind of shock and horror that something like that could happen, you know, like it just goes to show.
Well, I think the shock and horror was really more from Trump supporters, and it was a kind of an interesting, oh, you can't say bad things about people, this was rude, you can't say,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
rude coming from the people that were saying lock her up, and,
yeah,
and I just, you know, it was astonishing
yeah,
turnaround.
Yeah. So anyway, you're going to write a book about this then, are you? My Mother's Secret with Donald Trump. Is that it?
Well, I'm sure there are going to be millions and millions of books written about it, because it is a phenomenon. It
yeah.
really is. And it has opened up this whole kind of right wing, or, I mean, more closed way of thinking.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I there's going to be lots of reading. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be writing about it. I do think if I'd written this story, my editor would have been redlining it and saying, you know, far too fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, that's the thing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
also, she would have edited for the language.
Okay. Yeah, because you see, it would have been very racist and sexist and everything. You know, you couldn't put half of the stuff in it. You know, it wouldn't even get to the printers, I would say.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And that actually, I suppose, in some ways, though, is a statement in itself. You know, that public discourse has become, he has brought it down so low. I was horrified that our own Taoiseach, that Enda Kenny, said, oh, you say those things in the heat of battle, because I actually think that they're the sort of things that you should never say in the heat of battle,
or
at all.
So
I'm pretty, you know, pretty peeved with him as well, to be honest.
Okay, so is there anybody who you're not kind of, you know, vent your anger here now, Sheila? Is there anybody else that's really annoying you now? You know, just get it off your chest now that you're on.
Listen, my list is so long. But fortunately, I can talk it through.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
It's slightly more than 140 characters.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I can just see the next book. It's going to be brilliant. The anger and the whole lot will be just vented in it, you know, I have to say. But look,
it's totally.
Yeah. Oh, I just have to say one thing. I had Barry Dixon on and he said to say hello to you. He was on from New Zealand just a few minutes ago, so he said to say hello.
Excellent.
Because I was chatting to him about the, you know, because he, you know, about the earthquake and everything out there, but he'd be home in a few weeks.
But
he said to say hello.
He'd be lucky. He's got through two of those unscathed.
That's not a bad thing, you know. Yeah, I'd live in the house next door to him if I had a chance. Yeah, God forbid if I lived down there, you know. But anyway, Sheila, thanks for taking the call. Is there anything else now you want to get off your chest, or is that it now for today? You know, have you?
No, I'm good now, Conor.
You're good now. Well, Sheila, thanks for taking the call, and sure, you know, I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you.
You're welcome, Conor.
Thanks.
Bye.
Cheers, Sheila. Thanks.
Bye.
And that, of course, was the great author Sheila O'Flanagan about Donald Trump. And as you can hear by her, she's a little bit upset with the whole thing. But, well, let's hope that it doesn't kind of turn out as badly as could possibly happen.